I don't know about y'all. I guess if you can put up with me, I can put up with you. Ronald Reagan was one of my favorite presidents of the United States. And he delighted audiences with comments about his age. As you well know, he was, at least during his second tenure, he was one of our older presidents. And on one occasion he said, "I want to say that I don't mind at all any of the jokes or remarks about my age, because Thomas Jefferson made a comment about the presidency and age. He said that one should not worry about one's exact chronological age in reference to his ability to perform one's task. And ever since he told me that, I stopped worrying." In the post office, a stranger saw the local patriarch sitting on a park bench across the street whistling. A bystander informed him that the old fellow already had passed the 100th birthday. Impressed, the man exclaimed, "That's amazing." "We don't see nothing amazing about it around here," said the old country gentleman. "All he's done is grow old, and it took longer to do that than with most people." People say strange things sometimes about aging. Somebody said recently, "Careful grooming and a smooth paint job will take 20 years off a person's true age. But you can't fool him long. A long flight of stairs will correct it." And so each day, each week, each month, and each year, we grow older. When we consider the alternative, dying young, we're glad to grow older. It was King David who wrote in the Psalms, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." And then in that same chapter, he goes on to say, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." The scriptures have a lot to say about old age, and young age for that matter. Solomon, of course, is responsible for having written poetry when he was young, when he was middle age, and when he was an old man. I used to resent that word, old man, but I don't anymore. And you know, of course, why. Solomon wrote in the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, and they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets." And then he quickly concluded and said, "Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." I believe that we who are God's people have a great challenge before us, and that is to grow old with Jesus. I want us to look this evening at a proper attitude toward aging. Now, you can't imagine why I've chosen that subject when I look out over the audience and see that 75 to 80% of you are 65 or older.
Or getting there real quick.
Or getting there real quick. And I just felt like we needed to stop perhaps and talk about aging for a little bit this evening. I hope that we can do that in a positive way. I believe there must be a proper attitude toward aging, a positive, maturing attitude. It was Robert Browning who wrote, "Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be, for the last is yet to be, the last of life. For which the first was made, our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid." And so our aim should be to grow old, creatively, helpfully, and hopefully. Some have sat down and cried upon reaching a certain age. Others refuse to count birthdays. Registration officer said to the lady in front of him, "Your name, please?" She said, "Matilda Brown." "And your age?" She paused for a minute and she said, "Have the hills next door given you their ages?" "No," said the officer. "Well, then, I'm the same age as they." "That will do," said the officer, then proceeding to fill out the form, he wrote, "Matilda Brown, as old as the hills." We need to learn to grow old, creatively, helpfully, and hopefully. And that may be a task that could be beyond us for a while, but once we begin to lock in to the purpose and to the established goals that we have in our lives, we can grow old, helpfully, hopefully, and creatively. Our world is full of aging people. I decided to take a tour through the United Nations statistics on population aging. Among other things, our United Nations does do some worthwhile research, as it may deal with citizens of certain nations and of the world. The report just recently released said today one out of every 10 persons is 60 years old or over, totaling 629 million people worldwide. They are saying that by the year 2050, the United Nations project that one out of every 5 persons will be 60 years of age or older. Now, this has something to say, Bert, about the church and its future planning. We definitely are going to be flooded with people age 60 and over. By 2050, the actual number of people over the age of 60 is projected to be almost 2 billion. That's a B, not an M. That's a B, billion. At which point the population of older persons will outnumber children 10 to 14 years of age. The older population is itself aging. Currently, the oldest old, those 80 years or older, make up 12% of the population over 60. In fact, it is this segment that is the fastest growing of the older generation, or the older population. It is estimated that by the year 2050, 21% of the older population will be aged 80 years or older. And it is projected that the number of those 100 years or older will increase 15-fold from approximately 210,000 in 2002 to 3.2 million by the year 2050. Life expectancy, they say, at age 60 is 18 more years for men and 23 years for women. And so definitely, the church needs to be aware of these statistical projections as to the population of our world and begin to make plans to deal with the aging of our people. When we talk about aging, we are discouraged at times because of pain and discomfort and disease. My father advised me early in my life, two things you need to avoid, Cletus. Guess what? Growing old and getting sick. Didn't follow his advice. Leviticus 19 and verse 32, the historian wrote, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." That's Moses speaking. In Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the wise man said, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Probably a passage of which we are more familiar in the New Testament is Paul's advice and instructions to Titus the evangelist. He said in chapter 2, first paragraph, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." And then he addresses the aged women. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, and not false accusers, and not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And so, the glories of aging, the honor of being white-headed, or bald as in the case of some, is indeed a reality as we look at old age or the aging process. Brother B.C. Goodpasture lived to be an old man, and on one occasion he said, when asked about his age, "I'm going to live till I die." Which reminds me of the statement by Abraham Lincoln. They were teasing him, joking with him about how long his lanky legs were. And one guy asked him how long a man's legs ought to be, and he said, "Well, they ought to be long enough to touch the ground." Abraham is a great example in the Old Testament of one's growing old and aging. In Genesis 25 and verse 8, we have this statement about Abraham. "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." What a description on one's tombstone. Eliphaz, one of Job's supposed friends, said to him that if he were righteous, he would come to his grave in a full age like a shock of corn that comes at harvest time. It was Alfred Tennyson who expressed the meaningfulness of aging in a piece called Crossing the Bar. He wrote in part, "Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark. And may there be no sadness or farewell when I embark. For though from out are born of time and place, the flood may bear me far. I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar." And so there is a respectability about old age, about aging, that we should express to those who are in that chronological age bracket of 60 or more. There should be a proper attitude toward the aged. We must first of all recognize their needs. They need to feel a sense of usefulness. In Ruth chapter 4, we find a response to Naomi. And I believe it's a response in regards to a sense of usefulness on the part of this good lady. The scripture reads, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. What a beautiful story, the story of Ruth. And we oftentimes forget and ignore this particular passage, which I believe is very, very important for those who are aging and for those who are older today in our world. So there is a sense of usefulness. This is a need that older folks need to receive. We find many older folks saying, "Well, why am I still living? I'm 90, or I'm 93, or I'm 99, or I'm 75, and why am I still living?" There is a purpose, and there must be a sense of usefulness fulfilled in that purpose. And so there is a sense of fulfillment. And we see that in the challenge that Paul gave to Titus, as we read a moment ago from Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And then there is a sense of security. For various reasons, need not mention them because they're too obvious, I've been spending quite a bit of time in nursing homes lately. And you see that there is a needful sense of security on the part of the residents. They need to be showed true and unfalsed love. They need to be provided for their well-being in order to have a sense of security. A sense of belonging is certainly a need necessary in the lives of the elderly. Here are some suggestions that I would give for our aging family members at Plymouth. First of all, life is a sowing, reaping process. We sow and we reap. We sow again and we reap. And it continues. It is an unending cycle of life and living. We sow and we reap. We sow radishes and we reap radishes, Charlie. We sow and we reap. It is a reaping process. We must develop a proper attitude towards service. I think one of the most rewarding and appreciative responses of the elderly toward me when I was much younger is a good positive attitude towards service being rendered to them. They are appreciative, they're thankful, they're full of gratitude, and they are exemplary of grace. Retain your self-respect. Just because you are retired, not necessarily retarded, but you're retired, does not mean that you need not retain your self-respect. Your self-respect continues, should continue, and will continue as you grow older with Jesus. We need to learn to listen to the younger generation. Not necessarily taking their advice on certain issues, but listen to the younger generation. We're not going to establish a proper relationship with the younger generation until we do learn to listen to them. We must consider their complaints. We must accept their acknowledgement of certain issues. We may not agree with them, and we may need to share with them the true position of certain issues. But we need to listen to them. We need to continue to communicate with others. I have found in my personal work and visitation for the church and for the school and home in Mount Dora, that some elderly cut themselves off from the rest of the world, even from their own family members, and they fail to communicate and to continue opening those lines of communication between themselves. And then sixthly, we need to place a premium on time. Time is of the essence. There's no guarantee for tomorrow, and so today is all that we have, and we must do the best here. And so that simply means that we need to take time to grow spiritually. Spirituality is not developed overnight. It does not come to us through a sleeping pillow, but it comes to us through effort, through direction, through goal setting. And in the words of the Apostle Paul in the Philippian letter, chapter 3, I believe we find the answer. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, in his latter years, understood the necessity of growing spiritually and reaching out towards the goal of God's people, which is heavenward, which is spiritual in nature, which is righteous in living. And so we too must take the time to grow spiritually, placing a premium on time. For time is short. As James says, life is as a vapor. It appears for a short time and then vanishes and is gone. We need to learn to communicate with others, not isolate ourselves, not withdraw ourselves from company and from our neighbors and our friends and our family and our loved ones. We need to learn to listen to one another. We need to retain our self-respect by being obedient to God's will and to follow His instructions for safety purposes and for salvation. And thus we grow old in Christ Jesus. We hope and trust that we can find satisfaction and hopefulness in everyday living through the Scriptures as we grow spiritually older and more mature. If we can help you and assist you in this process and in this goal setting and reaching out, we want to do that and serve you in any way we can. And we invite you to make that known to us as to your needs right now as we stand and as we sing.